Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, KALW's news director, asking for your support in KALW's spring membership campaign. Go to KALW.org and click Donate Now. We appreciate it.
Welcome back to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hena Baba. And I'm joined today by a co-host. It's the leader of KALW's project, The Spiritual Edge, Judy Silber. Welcome, Judy, to the show.
Hi, Hena. It's great to be here.
Hi. Well, Judy, today we're going to hear about things we usually don't talk about. We'll drop in on a class that helps new converts to Islam, and then we'll meet some Catholics who are trying to forgive the priests who abuse them. But first, Judy, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the Spiritual Edge Project has grown?
Yes. So the Spiritual Edge is a homegrown project of KALW. We started a few years ago with a grant from the Templeton Religion Trust, and we wanted to do something we thought was missing on public radio, to talk about religion and what the leading edge is today. We produced a bunch of stories, some of which aired nationally on NPR and PRI. And then this year, we also started a newsletter and commissioned stories from around the country. Now we're starting to develop a Spiritual Edge podcast with our team here in the KALW News Department.
Right. And I am so proud to be part of that team.
And we are proud to have you. You and I are the Bay Area reporters.
Right. And Judy, since I have today's first story, why don't you go ahead and set it up for us?
Okay. Let's cue the Spiritual Edge bumper.
I'm a Muslim.
I am a Jewish.
I have no religion.
I'm Christian.
Reform Judaism.
I'm Catholic.
Muslim. Not religious.
Buddhist.
Southern Baptist.
Hindu.
Atheist.
Christian.
Agnostic.
Catholic.
For some faiths, for example, Catholicism, the path of a convert can be pretty involved, with study, rites, and rituals to fulfill. But to become a Muslim, all you need to do is declare your new belief with conviction in front of a Muslim witness, and that's it. Of Muslims living in the United States today, about 20% are converts. And without cultural ties, it can be hard to find community. That's why so many converts say they need support, but that can also be surprisingly hard to find. So 7 years ago, the Muslim Community Association in Santa Clara began offering support classes. My co-host, Hena Baba, takes us there now.
26-year-old Natalia Costa is in the Women's Prayer Hall at the Muslim Community Association, a mosque in Santa Clara. She's here for the midday Saturday prayer. Wearing a baby blue headscarf, she stands in a straight line with her hands folded above her heart, moving in unison with about 20 other women. They kneel, then prostrate, then sit and stand back up again, all in silence. Through the corner of her eye, head bowed, Costa follows the women closely. Costa is new to this. She's a Brazilian-American who became Muslim 5 months ago. She used to be Catholic, and she says her conversion to Islam came after a long search.
I've always gone to different churches throughout my life, Catholic Church, Presbyterian, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, Christian congregation in the United States. And I remember asking my mother even, how do I know what is the truth if every church is saying something different? She said, you don't know, but whatever you feel in your heart to be right is the truth. And I moved to Istanbul in Turkey. I taught English there for a year, and I was introduced to a lot of Islam there. And I've found that I found the truth in Islam.
Now she's learning these new rituals little by little.
I think I always used to be jealous of people who are like born in Islam. I still don't understand how to pray everything correctly, learning all of the surahs.
When the prayer's done, the other women notice her, an unfamiliar face. She tells them she's a new Muslim, and they crowd around her, all smiles, hugging and kissing, congratulating her. Especially excited is a Moroccan grandma named Sister Fatiha Abu Mahmoud Kretes.
I tell her, you're welcome, and you be our daughter.
You are very, very
welcome.
After Costa emerges red-faced from the big dose of warm and fuzzy welcome, she walks to another building for her convert support class. It's called Study Islam.
So seerah means the history of somebody, right? So when we say generally, when we say the seerah, we generally mean the prophet, the seerah of the prophet.
This is instructor Tariq Murad. He's teaching the new converts about Islam's main tenets and rituals. Today's class is about sinning and forgiveness.
That whole concept of original sin doesn't exist. Because Adam and Eve were forgiven before they left the Garden of Eden. So there's nothing, they did not carry down with them an original sin to be atoned for in here. There is no, it's not a state of being. A sin is an act that you do.
But the class also tackles topics specific to converts.
What about participating in different holidays? Like if they ask for you to participate in Christmas or something like that, to be a part of the family?
You are part of the family. You should be there.
Okay.
You're not going to worship that way.
Right.
You're not going to eat the ham. You're not going to drink the wine. Okay.
These kind of teachings don't normally come up in your average Friday prayer sermon, where the target audience is, for the most part, Muslims born and raised with the religion. This is another hurdle that converts have to navigate. Instructor Tariq Murad says in his class, students sometimes are confused about things they hear are Islamic, but are actually part of a certain culture, Arab, South Asian, or Iranian.
One of the biggest problems I think people have is mixing up the idea of culture with religion.
For example, the Saudi Arabian practice of segregating men from women. Saudi Arabia was the birthplace of Islam, and it houses its two holiest sites. But
the problem is, a country like Saudi Arabia, because it has influence in the world because of the money it has and the oil it has, people tend to think that this is Islam, and Saudi Arabia represents a very small portion of Islam.
American converts complain of being shut out of the mosque environment because it can be so steeped in cultures they don't belong to. Converts vent in blogs and podcasts like this one called Islam Witch.
Please, stop asking converts if they know how to cook some dish from your country or a dessert your mother made back home. Stop telling newly converted Muslims that they must wear the thobe, abaya, or a shalwar kameez, because this is how Muslims dress. This is your culture.
That alienation is one of the reasons this mosque has this class. Out of more than 80 mosques and Islamic centers in the Bay Area, only a handful offer formal classes for new converts. Instructor Tariq Murad says class sizes here have been small but steady for 7 years running. The Muslim Community Association is a more diverse mosque than many, and that can also help new converts choose how to practice Islam in their own way.
We're not one nation or country of origin. We at least have 30 or 40 different countries of origin here, so we're very, very diverse. And we treat each other that way, with that respect of our diversity.
But this is not that common. A lot of mosques are casually known by cultural labels, the Yemeni mosque, the Afghani mosque, or the Pakistani mosque. So new Muslims can feel they don't belong. At the same time, friends and family don't understand their new religion. That isolation can push converts to seek out connections on the web through social media, dating sites, podcasts, and YouTube videos.
It's really, really difficult.
This clip is from a YouTuber who calls herself Missy S.
I just have nobody to talk to who would not judge me or disown me or who would take me seriously about it. Because a lot of people are like, you're pale-ass redhead. What do you want to do with a Middle Eastern religion? I just, I wish I had the strength to go to a mosque and just go in and ask questions and be like, I need help, please. And I don't know where to go from here. I wish I did.
Being a convert can be lonely, but relying on the internet can also be risky. Hours and hours of being online alone can lead new converts to more hardline materials, and that can encourage what some say is a skewed understanding of the religion. Things like how to marry, what to wear, what to watch or not watch. Here's a sheikh from Australia, Faiz Muhammad.
And they're sitting down, his children, about six of them, tabarakallah, watching Harry Potter. I said, Akhi, what are you doing? Because, what do you mean, Sheikh? I said, how can you allow your children to watch this? I guess, and harmless fiction, harmless entertainment. Are you harmless? Harmless? This film glorifies, magnifies, promotes paganism, promotes evil.
But it can be much more serious than dissing Harry Potter. Studies show most violent extremism in the West is committed by converts. ISIS has been known to recruit from this more vulnerable population. Convert classes or support groups get folks off the internet, in community, and in conversation with real people, like in this Muslim Community Association class.
Everybody who's coming through this is generally intelligent and critical and thinking. Is they're not somebody that just follows just the normal average political opinion or just the opinion they hear on the radio or something like that. But they're actually focusing on learning and understanding at the root level.
Still, it isn't easy. Converts are embracing a whole new religion with all of its practices and obligations, like regular prayers and fasting during Ramadan. Add to that a negative societal view of Muslims, and for Natalia, choosing to wear a hijab. In addition to all that, they have to navigate how their families feel. Murad says some families disown their kids. Others constantly debate them and challenge them. Many are hurt and offended their child would leave their own spiritual tradition. Others are afraid of the prejudice Islam may bring with it. Natalia Costa says she dreaded the day she'd have to tell her Catholic parents.
It's something that actually caused me a lot of anxiety. I found it similar to what I can imagine it would be for someone who is homosexual coming out of the closet. I would spend nights like crying, like, my family is gonna hate me. How am I gonna go about this? And just kind of building up to it was, I was like preparing for a war.
And when she did tell them?
Some people in my family, I don't think they were very thrilled to hear that. But at the end of the day, they were accepting. And I think that was the most important thing for me to know, that they still love me for being a part of their family and didn't kind of abandon me, which I think, unfortunately, some people go through.
But she still has some challenges.
I'm Brazilian. You know, family get-togethers is like hanging out by the beach in your bathing suits, drinking and eating. And I'm not going to be able to partake in that necessarily. And so I don't want to be looked at as the other. But, you know, it's going to be a journey to kind of convince them that I'm still me.
Instructor Tariq Murad says family is one of the hardest parts of conversion that needs the most support. So this class is especially important for those who face rejection at home.
Because it builds a family for them. It builds an area for them to find strength and common experiences. If somebody has been rejected by their family, they find somebody else in the class who's been rejected, and they kind of get some tips and ideas from them on how to deal with it.
And he tackles it straight on in his class, including how to address parent fears that the new religion will create a gap between them and their children. Costa asks if it's okay to give gifts during Christmas. Murad quotes a saying by Islam's Prophet Muhammad where he says, "Tahadu tahabu," which means,
give gifts, you bring your hearts closer to each other. Give them gifts in Christmas and outside of Christmas. The difference that your family has to see with you when you become a Muslima is what? Is that you love your parents more, you're more obedient to your parents than you were before. That will say volumes.
Natalia Costa says the challenges continue, and sometimes she feels lonely. So she's grateful for this class.
I've been going through a lot of the journey kind of on my own. So it's been sometimes a little bit isolating. So being around other people through that is really refreshing.
And for Tariq Murad, that's what it's about. Not just welcoming new Muslims, but sticking with them on the long, often bumpy road ahead.
It's not an event in their life, but it's a journey that they're going to go through for the rest of their lives. And they grow. And that's what I love seeing. I just love seeing that in their eyes. It just makes me feel very happy.